Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Sunday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. Today, we're going to be breaking down everything that you need to know from Packers, Seahawks. Packers pick up a win. Doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot in the scheme of things. I'm not a huge believer in carrying over momentum from the preseason into the regular season. Detroit's just going to be just as hard week one, despite picking up a win against Seattle, but it's better than the alternative and playing more like they did in week one of preseason. And I'll definitely take a win. It was a solid performance from Green Bay. We'll get into all of it. And again, what those key takeaways are from this particular victory. Before we get there, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, MR Hall, Tommy EB, William Collins, YMet, Caitlin, Chris Schwint, TZ, Mercenary, Nick Fargo, Z, and Mason Carlini. And also a huge shout out to brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast Hall of Fame member, John DeMetropoulos. You are a legend. Thank you guys all for signing up. If you have not checked out those memberships yet, a great time certainly to do so would be right now. Our Luigi's Pizza player of the game in this one. Preseason's weird, right? Like, so many guys are going in and out of the lineup that it's hard for anyone to get consistent enough playing time to go out and make a huge impact. Some players did play enough to probably do that, but I'm having a hard time looking outside of Daniel Whelan for this one. Six punts, 345 yards, a 57.5 yard average, no touchbacks, one punt down inside the 20, and a long of 67 yards. He is kicking the absolute snot out of the ball right now. The hang time's good. The distance is good. He is showing better directional punting. He's on one right now. And it is, you know, hopefully we don't see a lot of Daniel Whelan this year and you don't really care about the punter until you have to care about them. He's clicking on all cylinders right now. He looks like the best punter we've seen in Green Bay in a long time. Hopefully that can continue into the regular season, but had to go with Daniel Whelan for my Luigi's Pizza player of the game. It's a great day for Luigi's Victory Pizza. If you didn't have the chance to celebrate on Saturday night, that's okay. Today's a new day. Go out, get yourself a brand new Luigi's Frozen Pizza and celebrate your victory Sunday today. I know I'm going to be doing that. I'm going ultra thin crust pepperoni per usual. My favorite. They're all my favorite, if I'm being honest, but that's one I'm going with today. I hope you guys are able to celebrate as well. Also, let's get into our Habish Rotier injury report. The good news is I don't think, at least as far as we know, there were any new injuries, and it definitely felt like there were no new injuries early in the game. Hopefully, knock on wood, that's the case, that there were, you know, there's nothing new. There were injuries and players that did not play in this game, which we're going to get to in just a moment, but we didn't see anybody leave the game due to injury, which is a good sign. And hopefully we get good news through the course of this week at practice that there were no new injuries in this game. Excuse me. There were, like I said, though, a variety of different players that didn't play. At quarterback, of course, Jordan Love. Running back, Marshawn Lloyd. Wide receiver, Christian Watson, Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, and Savion Williams. Offensive line, Jacob Monk, Aaron Banks, John Williams, and Elton Jenkins. Defensive end, Colin Oliver and Baron Sorrell. Defensive tackle, Devontae Wyatt and Kenny Clark. Linebacker, Jared Bartlett. Corner, Nate Hobbs. Safety, Zane Anderson, Omar Brown, and Xavier McKinney. There are two noteworthy ones on this list. Elton Jenkins and Devontae Wyatt. Both of them did not finish Thursday's practice against Seattle. Could be nothing, could be something, but not finishing practice on Thursday and then not practicing on Saturday, that's not what you want to see for your starting center and starting defensive tackle. I'm hoping that we get good news through the course of this week, but those are the definitely the two that I'm going to be keeping a closer eye on this upcoming week. All right, key takeaways from this one. I have five key takeaways, and then I want to get into sort of position by position what we learned about some of these players in some key roster battles and just kind of throughout the game of what we learned from some of these players. So first of all, the big key takeaway is it seemed like there were no new injuries. Check. That's a huge one. Number two, I talked about it in the pregame show. I wanted to see better attention to detail in this game. I wanted to see a team that went out and didn't have the pre-snap penalties and weren't making stupid mistakes and dumb errors and just all of that stuff, right? The drop passes. It wasn't perfect. And Malik Willis had a very questionable throw to start the game. I'm not sure that that was actually an interception, but yeah, he did make a ill-advised decision on that particular play. Anthony Belton had the false start penalty, although it felt like that play was a little bit disjointed up front. There's a couple things here and there, but I thought early on, and for the most part, we saw a much better attention to detail, not as many self-inflicted wounds. We didn't see the drops, things like that. So I thought overall that was a positive and hopefully something that legitimately can carry over into Detroit as they start making that push to the regular season. Number three, I love that the defense was up to the task and creating turnovers, not just creating turnovers with interceptions and fumbles, but third down stops, fourth down stops. They were immaculate all throughout the day. They had the one drive where they allowed a touchdown late in the game, but they were able to get off the field when they needed to. I know, again, they're playing very basic stuff and they're going against the Seahawks offense that didn't have their starters out there. I'm well aware of all of it, but I'm still very happy to see a defense that was flying around, rallying to the football, creating chaos and havoc, not allowing first downs, creating turnovers. They were up to the task, and I really appreciated it. Even just some of the stuff where setting the edge, like Kalen King firing up, getting to the outside and making some plays in the run game, just felt like there was a purpose and intentionality to what they were doing, and it was successful. And they basically shut down Seattle all throughout the course of the day. Number four, we talked about Daniel Whelan, really freaking good. And I think there's a chance he might be the next contract extension in Green Bay. And then the one downside I will say here, number five, is I'm starting to get more and more concerned about the offensive line depth. All right, you've got Rashid Walker, you've got Zach Tom, you've got Sean Ryan, you've got Jordan Morgan, you've got four right now. Aaron Banks, a little bit beat up. Elton Jenkins, a little bit beat up. Those two did not play in this game due to injury. Jacob Monk beat up. Even beyond that, Anthony Belton in this one, to me, as I watch more of him, it's just not quite there yet. I would be a little bit worried if we had to see an extended playing time for Belton. Now, it might be great for him in the long term to get more reps, more playing time, more snaps, learn from some of his mistakes. It might really help him in the long term to kind of throw him into the fire and say, all right, let's see what you got. You know, that trial by fire might work for him, but I don't think he's quite ready yet. And now you're starting to get to the point of Jenkins and Banks have some sort of injury ailments. Right now we know Banks is a back, but we don't know the extent of it. You don't have that many healthy people that you count on four right now. That's it, just the four. And we didn't really see anybody take a step in the backup roles. No Kadeem Telfort, no Donovan Jennings, no Jacob Monk, Glover's on IR. We didn't see those that next group of players step up. So in an ideal world, you've got six. You've got Walker and Morgan, Banks, Jenkins, Ryan, and Tom. But if you have to get to that seventh offensive line, which is just two injuries, I have major concern at this point. And you kind of have two injuries right now in Banks and Jenkins. How is that going to, you know, kind of affect things if you can't play those guys? And if you have to go against Detroit, are you going Anthony Belton? Is Monk back in time? Are you going Donovan Jennings? Like, it gets kind of scary very, very fast. So I'm starting to get to the point where offensive line depth is getting to be a concern for me. We'll see if maybe Goody can pull a rabbit out of his hat and, you know, make some magic happen at the waiver wire and maybe pick somebody up that can come out and be good, or, you know, maybe get a Dalton Risner or something like that. But I do have some concerns at the moment about the depth of this offensive line, and didn't ease anything today as I watched this game. So those are my key takeaways. No new injuries. Attention to detail was better. Defense was up to the task, creating turnovers, getting stops. Daniel Whelan's really freaking good, and I am a little bit concerned about the offensive line depth. All right, with that, let's get to our position-by-position breakdown. At quarterback, the big talking point here is Sean Clifford versus Taylor Algersma. I think the truth is, and I think we saw this again today, they're both still a ways away, and they're not going to be able to help you win football games. And that's not really the goal of either of them, right? When you get to the number three quarterback, if you get to them, you're just hanging on for dear life, and you're just basically looking at, all right, we're going to lose some games. Hopefully the starting two or the number one and the number two aren't down too long. And if they are, well, guess what? We're going to be picking very early in next year's draft. it just feels to me that this is a pretty easy decision. And I'm not saying who I would take, but it just comes down to, do you want the guy with higher upside, or do you want the guy that's going to be able to run scout team and kind of be a little bit more of a veteran voice in that locker room? That's it. You're not going to win any games with either if you get to your third quarterback. I don't think either of them has the upside of like, oh my God, what could they possibly become if they just hit? I think El-Gurzma clearly is the player with higher upside. And that's probably where I would lean in this situation. But if Matt says, and the quarterback room says, hey, we really want Sean, we think he adds a lot to this locker room, and you know, he can, then you just keep it. And he can, again, be a lot, give you a lot of looks on the scout team, where I'm not sure El-Gurzma gives you that same thing. So do you want the guy with upside? Do you want the guy who can do a lot of the other stuff? Or do you go elsewhere and say, hey, we want to bring somebody in from the outside? I didn't think Clifford or El-Gurzma did anything to lock themselves in. I think El-Gurzma helped himself more than what Sean Clifford did, but they're going to use a lot of things at their disposal to kind of figure out not just tape, but Clifford over the last 2 years, how they viewed El-Gurzma coming out, what they think his upside is. They're going to have to weigh all of this out. I would lean towards El-Gurzma right now. Again, this is all practice squad related. Neither Clifford or El-Gurzma is going to make the 53, but I would put the slight nod to El-Gurzma, but I think you could go in a variety of different directions here. And if El-Gurzma and Sean Clifford's not back, I don't think you're losing any sleep over either of those players at the moment. But again, if it's me, I'm going El-Gurzma in this situation. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, preseason football is already underway and college football is here, so do not miss any of the action this season on Prize Picks. An absolute blast winning last year on Prize Picks, and now I'm gearing up for another epic run in 2025. I've already got a couple deep sleepers in mind, and I'm going to be very, very high on Tucker Kraft this upcoming season as well. Now, you may be new to Prize Picks, so let's break it down super easy. Prize Picks is incredibly simple to play. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. That's why Prize Picks already has millions of users, because it's the best place to win cash while watching sports. And there's never been a better time to sign up than today. So download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out called Pre-Alcohol. Now, ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm legit telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather. And before that backyard barbecue brew, glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on that next day and all that summer has to offer. Go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code PACKADAY at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use the code PACKADAY at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code PACKADAY. Running back, Chris Brooks getting the first look after Josh Jacobs. Again, everything points to him making this team. I thought Emmanuel Wilson did everything that he could in this game to kind of go out and show that he's ready as well and that he continues to take steps as a runner. If Marshawn Lloyd's a IR designated to return, and we don't know that that's the case yet, but if he is, that's a pretty easy decision for Emmanuel Wilson, but I thought he had a good game. And then Amar Johnson, I think the big play that you want to watch here was his pass pro, and he had a really bad holding penalty because he couldn't hang on in pass pro on that particular play. He's a practice squad guy. I really like him, and I think he's a great guy to have in the practice squad, but he's not a 53 guy, not yet. Needs to get there. I think he can over time, and if you had to call him up through the course of the year, I don't think it's anything catastrophic. I think he can help you, But if you look at it from a roster building standpoint, he's probably much more closer to a practice squad player than a 53 player. And I don't think anyone's going to claim him. Wide receiver, Malik Heath, you know, I thought he had the nice reception. He had a couple plays on special teams. I didn't think Mecole Hardman did enough, and I didn't think any of the other receivers did enough to get their name in the conversation either. So if they're going to keep six, I would lean towards Malik Heath right now. I still think it's possible they could keep five if everyone's healthy, but not everyone's healthy at the moment. So I, as of right now, I'm probably not locking in, but if I had to make my prediction right here, right now, I would say Malik Heath makes it as a number six wide receiver. Tight end, there was nothing noteworthy in this game as I watched it or did the rewatch. Didn't see anything that really stood out one way or the other. I do think this just comes down to you have your top two that are making it clearly. John Fitzpatrick is a real strong likelihood as tight end three. And then do they want to keep Ben Sims as tight end four? That's really the only question mark at tight end at this point. Offensive line, I thought Donovan Jennings had a really nice bounce back performance and got his name back in the conversation. If there is a player that makes this team completely out of nowhere, it is Lasita Smith. Lasita Smith has acquitted himself nicely since returning to Green Bay. He has some experience in the league, and he can play some interior offensive line, some center. I just think that he has a little bit more than meets the eye of what you would expect when you brought him back. He's got a chance at this thing, and I think that probably more speaks to Green Bay's lack of O-line depth than anything else, but it might come down to Donovan Jennings versus Lasita Smith for one final spot. I don't know which way that goes. I think Lasita Smith very much in that conversation. Interior defensive line, I didn't think Stackhouse did enough to earn him a spot. I think they're going to keep the five. I think Brinson is the fifth. I don't think there's any question about that. And now Stackhouse, you hope, gets through waivers and he goes back to the practice squad and you can continue to develop him. I don't think anyone claims him. I think you do get him back. I don't think it's impossible that they could keep six, but as of right now, and based on what we've seen in preseason, I think Stackhouse needs just a little bit more seasoning, understanding how to hold up at the point of attack, win the leverage battle, a couple things like that he's just got to clean up. And as time goes on, hopefully he can stay in Green Bay while leveling up on the practice squad. Defensive end, Bretton Cox went out, had an awesome game, really helped his case. Aaron Mosby had some ups and downs, but he's in a real interesting position where if Oliver and Sorrell are not able to play to start the season, you're probably your default number five. Deslin Alexander had a really nice day and continues to put his name at least in somewhat of a conversation, even though I think he is a very clear practice squad player. And then Kingsley Enagbare, I thought, had another impressive performance again. Kudos to Enagbare, who I said multiple times based on that contract may not have been a lock going into the season, but he's a lock now. He's making this team, and he was, I thought, very, very impressive all throughout the course of preseason. Linebacker, Isaiah Simmons, some ups, downs. It did look like that big run on the right side was probably due to an error on his side. Just not trustworthy at all in defense, but I do think they have a special teams role for him, and I think he still makes the team. Jamin Johnson, I thought, continued to impress after a rough first preseason game. I thought he bounced back in week two, and then I thought he carried it over today, both in coverage and in run defense. I thought I saw him flying around the field on a couple different occasions. Probably somebody, again, who has a real key opportunity at the practice squad. And if he wants to be back in Green Bay in that capacity, he will do so. And again, I thought he had a really nice performance in this one and probably solidified that opportunity for himself. Corner. This to me was maybe one of the more telling aspects of this game. I thought Kalen King and Kamal Haddon did everything they could to go out and earn jobs in this game. And I thought Corey Ballantyne, ups and downs, didn't help himself quite as much, allowed one of those big completions. And then Micah Robinson definitely felt behind everyone else. You can never know quite for sure. Sometimes a team likes a player, maybe doesn't need to play him quite as much, but I would say Micah Robinson probably on the outside looking in at this point. Same with Ballantyne. I think Haddon and King did everything they could to make it to this team. I thought King was fantastic. One of the best games we have seen from him, or just best anything we've seen from him so far. And then Kamal Haddon coming up with some big pass breakups. He had a rough game against Indy. There is some buzz that maybe he came back a little bit early from injury, but had a nice joint practice this week and then followed it up with a huge preseason game. I still think there's a little bit too much there for Kamal Haddon. I think he's probably your corner five at the moment, but we'll have to see when cutdowns come along. And all four of them in the conversation, Haddon, Ballantyne, King, and Robinson. But if it's me today, and especially after this game, I'm going Kamal Haddon and Kalen King. Safety, there was nothing super noteworthy. So you know, I didn't think anyone else kind of get their name in the conversation. I thought Oladapo had a couple of plays that he would like to have back, but I don't think he's on the hot seat in any way, shape, or form. So nothing really to kind of break down there. There was one interesting comment from Matt LaFleur after practice. He said, quote, "There's going to be other teams where guys get released, and there's going to be opportunities that could impact some of the decisions you make in terms of who you keep from your roster." Just an interesting thing that that's kind of where his mind went of, it would probably tell me that he and Goody already had some conversations of maybe a position or two that might need an upgrade, offensive line probably being one of those. Just don't be shocked if maybe this roster is closer to 51 or 52 with the guys that are on the team right now, and maybe they make a trade or pick up a guy from the waiver wire. It wouldn't surprise me at all if that ends up being the case and they kind of make over maybe a depth, you know, piece along the offensive line, or maybe the number three quarterback. There's a couple other ones. Corner makes sense as well. But it was just interesting that he kind of brought that up pretty clearly. And it just would tell me again that there's probably been some conversations of, hey, let's you know, scrounge the waiver wire for a player that can maybe help us at one of these positions that we're a little bit in need of. Packers finished the season 2-1 in preseason. We are officially on to Detroit. The Packers are currently 1-point favorites against the Lions, the closest of any week one game. That's the closest line of any game in week one, Packers Lions in Green Bay. It's going to be epic. We'll get you all ready for it right here on the Packaday podcast. Thank you so much for making Packaday part of your daily routine. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Check out our partners over at luigispizza.com and habish.com. Cannot thank them enough. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Sinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, and John D. Metropolis. I will see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.